Greetings, everyone. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Kind of reminded me of aliens, you know, when they come to the Earth, they say, greetings, Earthlings. And we're actually going to be talking about outer space.
Outer space, yeah. In our science unit today, yep.
Yeah, seems like lately in the news, there have been a lot of stories about, you know, UFOs, people seeing things in the skies and not knowing what it is. It's been kind of fun. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we had visitors from other planets. I don't know.
Well, you know, Elvis Presley, of course, was an alien.
Oh, really?
As was my fifth grade science teacher.
No, I did not know.
Right. They're all disguised. Of course, they're living on Earth under various disguises. Of course, according to Men in Black, you know, that movie.
Oh, right.
But we're not really talking so much about aliens among us.
This is real stuff, real science.
Science, actually, we're talking about meteor showers, which you can see at various times during the year. It's kind of an astronomical phenomenon if you're into that sort of thing. If you like looking at the planets and the stars and stuff, you can see meteor showers, you can see a lunar eclipse, you can see a solar eclipse.
There was a great moon the other night.
Full moons.
It's hard to see a lot of stars in Taipei because there's so much light, or as they like to call it, light pollution.
Or regular pollution, too, kind of blocks off stuff up there.
Have you seen meteor showers in Taiwan?
No, I haven't. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, downplay meteor showers here in Taiwan because it is heavily populated.
Got to go out to the countryside to see it, though.
Yep. There are lots of big cities with lots of light pollution, but there are mountainous areas where it's nice and dark and you can see plenty of stars. You can see the galaxy there.
Love that.
And hopefully you can see meteor showers. Even close to Taipei here, I think there are some places that you can go to and get some pretty good views of the night sky.
Nice.
But we're talking specifically about meteor showers in today's program. They're stellar and they are spectacular. So let's find out what this is all about. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, and we'll be right back to discuss it. Heading away from the bright city lights after dusk, you see space stretching out above you, millions of stars dotting the black expanse. Suddenly, a flash of light streaks through the sky. Then there's another and another. It's like a laser show in space. What you're witnessing is a spectacular phenomenon known as a meteor shower. Popularly known as shooting stars, meteor showers are a result of bits of space rock entering Earth's upper atmosphere. As they fall toward our planet at 15 kilometers per second, friction with the air causes these meteors to burn up before they can reach the ground and cast trails of light briefly across the sky. Individual meteors can be seen on any clear night. However, periodic showers with many meteors occur around the same dates each year and are certainly the best times to catch sight of shooting stars. These showers can actually be predicted with great accuracy since astronomers can track the paths of comets which shed debris each time they pass close to the sun. By now, you might be asking, when, where, and how can I see one of these stunning events? The two best ones to catch this year will be the Perseids and the Geminids. The Perseids will peak around August 12th to 13th, visible in the northeast from about 10 p.m. local time onward. The Geminids will light up the sky on December 14th and 15th and are at their best around 2 a.m., although they can be seen from 10 p.m. onward. To get the best view, find a dark place away from city lights, lie on your back, and take in the sky with your naked eye. This stellar show will not disappoint you.
Okay, guys, we're going to first look at the title here. We've got several words we want to focus in on. Stellar. Stellar actually means relating to a star or stars, a stellar structure in evolution. Interstellar, that was a movie, I think, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But stellar is also used in a more informal way where if someone says, oh, how was that play? It was stellar. So it just was really, really good. You could talk about someone having a stellar performance or a movie that has a stellar cast, which is a great, great cast. But its original meaning did have something to do with stars. The Latin word actually means star. Spectacular, you know this word. You see the word spectacle in there. Spectacles were what we used to call eyeglasses long ago. And if something's spectacular, you definitely love looking at it. So these are really beautiful meteor showers we're going to be focusing on during this particular lecture program.
Yeah, we talk about a shower when there's rain, of course.
Yeah.
Rain or showers. I think the term in Chinese is like meteor rain, but we say meteor showers in English here. That just means you see lots of meteors up in the atmosphere during certain parts of the year. Now, let's talk specifically about the contents of our lesson for today. Let's take a look at the first paragraph. It says, heading away from the bright city lights after dusk,You see space stretching out above you, millions of stars dotting the black expanse. So this is occurring after dusk. Dusk is the end of the day, the time when the sun sets. The opposite would be dawn.
Mm-hmm.
At the dawn of the day, when the sun comes up and you're getting out of bed, ready to go off to school or work or whatever, that's the dawn of the day. But here we're talking about dusk, and it's after dusk. The sun has set. It's starting to get dark, so you're leaving the city. Hopefully you're not driving and looking up at the sky at the same time. That could be very dangerous. Maybe you could look up if you're the passenger. But above you, you see space stretching out to infinity. You've got millions of stars up there dotting the black expanse. So, yes, indeed, millions of stars that are dotting this black area. Expanse just means a very large area. That's how we're describing space. There it goes on for billions of light years. And, of course, you've got millions of stars up there, probably even more, but, you know, you just can't see them all.
No, but it's kind of fun to see stars every once in a while. It's been a long time since I was in a place that was dark enough that I could see stars. Yeah, so we've got them dotting the black expanse. We use this phrase, you know, millions or hundreds or whatever, dotting the area or dotting the country. You could talk about coffee shops, how they are dotting Taiwan, Taipei especially. They're all over the place. Now, suddenly you're going to see a flash of light. Now, a streak can be a noun or a verb. Here, we're using it as a verb.And if something streaks, it goes very, very quickly. And usually, it's kind of a long, thin line of something. You'll hear people talk about so-and-so has a streak of gray in their hair. Kind of a weird place. They'll just have this big spot of gray, and the rest is either black or whatever their natural color is. So a flash of light is streaking through the sky, moving very quickly.Kind of a fun thing when I was a little girl, we had some weird people who needed attention. And they would take off their clothes and run naked across the stage. Or maybe even they were at a baseball game. They would streak across the field. And there was even a song called Streaker, I think.
The Streak, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, we call them Streakers, though.
I don't know
why that fella called it the Streak. Oh, yes, they call him the Streak. Faster thing on 2 feet. Yeah, I remember that was a novelty song from the 70s.
Funny.
But here, Streak is being used as a verb. That just means it moves very quickly through a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving through the sky here, and then there's another, and another, and another. It's like a laser show in space.
Boom, boom, boom. They're streaking in succession. Yeah, that's one of our vocabulary words this month.
Indeed. So, yes, indeed. One after another, you've got those flashes of light streaking through the sky.
That's cool.
What the heck is that? You might be wondering, gee, is it the end of the world? Are those nuclear bombs coming down from North Korea or something like
that? Might
be
a UFO.
Could be a UFO from another planet or something. No, that's not what it is. What you're witnessing or what you're you're seeing is a spectacular phenomenon known as a meteor shower. So in this sentence, we've got the word phenomenon here. That's just something that actually happens in nature. It could be anything else that happens, but I usually think of it as a natural phenomenon, like, you know, a solar eclipse is a natural phenomenon, an astronomical phenomenon, a typhoon is a weather phenomenon, just something that happens.
Yeah, I think this is a singular form of the word. You'll also see a phenomena. So, yeah, this is...
That's the plural, yeah.
That's a plural form. Kind of weird. We don't put an S on this to make it plural. We put an A at the end, phenomena. Make sure you use the right verb. Don't conjugate this incorrectly. So it is kind of cool. Now, the next paragraph, it says popularly known as shooting stars. That's what I called it as a little girl. I think when I was really young, I didn't know what the word meteor was for a while. So they were shooting stars. And as you look up into the sky, you might catch a sight of a star. And as you're watching it, you know, it doesn't move, right? And suddenly, it streaks and falls across the sky. And that's when you know that you're watching a meteor shower. It says here that meteor showers are a result of bits of space rock, kind of cool, entering Earth's upper atmosphere. And as you know, once you get out of the atmosphere, funny things happen in outer space. So it has to actually enter the Earth's upper atmosphere, and that gravity probably pulls that down.
Yep. And it gets burnt up there, so it won't hit the ground. That's what a meteor is. You may have heard the word meteorite, with I-T-E at the end. That's something that actually manages to get all the way down to the ground.
Hits the ground. It makes a hole, usually. Yeah.
Yeah, like in my hometown, there was a famous meteorite that hit the Earth in the 1800s or something like that.
Cool.
A piece of it is sitting in the local library to check out. I remember looking at that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The meteorite. But to hear meteor, that's just something that, you know, lights up the atmosphere, but it burns up in the atmosphere and it doesn't make it all the way to the ground. Of course, the atmosphere is the area.
The gases surrounding the Earth.
Yep, the atmosphere, indeed. You could also use the word atmosphere to talk about the general feeling of a place.
Like a restaurant.
Yep, you could talk about the happy atmosphere of someone's party or something like that. But in this particular case, we're talking about the layer of air around the earthy atmosphere. And in the upper atmosphere, that's where the meteors hit and burn up, and you can see them from the ground. Now, as they fall toward our planet at 15 kilometers per second, friction with the air causes these meteors to burn up before they can reach the ground and cast trails of light briefly across the sky. That's what happens here. They're flying quite fast at 15 kilometers per second.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Really?
So we've got friction here, which means something is rubbing against something. Friction. Friction could also be maybe a conflict you're having with someone. Oh, I had a lot of friction with Jamie in the office today. She was so mean to me. We had an argument. We were having some friction there. But here, friction just talks about the meteor kind of rubbing against the atmosphere and causing it to burn and slow down and stuff like that.
That gravity slows it down,
Yep, and so they burn up before they can reach the ground, and they cast trails of light. Here we've got the word cast, usually which means to throw something. When I went fishing as a boy, of course, you wanted to cast your lure out into the water and then reel it back in. Hopefully a walleye or a trout or something would take the bait. But here, cast trails just mean they just put those trails of light there. And you can see them briefly. They don't stay on for very long. I've seen meteors before when I was a kid. Not meteor showers. I don't think I've ever seen one of those. But I've seen regular meteors before. And yeah, the light isn't there very long. So you have to be looking in the right part of the sky to see them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the sky is huge. So you never know where you're going to see them. It's very hard to see them normally.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll use cast like this. You could say, oh, yeah, the light or the shadow, or the moon cast a pale light over the homes below. So it kind of throws that light, you could say, if that helps you remember. When I saw shooting stars or meteor showers, by the time I opened my mouth to tell, you know, someone in my family or a friend next to me, oh, look, it would already be over. So you have to really just be looking at a particular part of the sky and stars, because when it does happen, it happens very quickly. So you don't have much time to say, hey, look, they're shooting stars, there's a meteor shower. You just have to enjoy it yourself, and hopefully you see a couple more that night. Some nights there are a lot of them. Mm. I've been lucky. I've seen some cool ones. Right now, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to finish talking about meteor showers.
Okay, we shall now continue with our lesson. We're talking about meteor showers, and I think the reason we're talking about them is because you can probably see one here in a couple of days. So make your plans accordingly. Drive out to the mountain somewhere, and maybe you can see a meteor shower. They are kind of difficult to photograph, though, so
yeah. You
know, I would probably just put your phone away and go ahead and use the naked eye to look up at the sky there. But in any case here, let's talk about meteor showers. But individual meteors can be seen on any clear night, so you don't need to wait for a meteor shower to see them. Like we've been talking about, you can see them on any clear night, although you do have to look for a long time to see one. If there's a meteor shower going on, they are more frequent. So here it says, however, periodic showers with many meteors occur around the same dates each year and are certainly the best times to catch sight of shooting stars. So here, periodic showers. Periodic just means happening once in a while. So they're not happening every night or every week, maybe every couple of months or so. So periodic, occurring at intervals, happening between certain spaces of time.
Yeah, a different version or form of this word would be a periodical, which is a noun. And a periodical refers to a magazine that is published in regular intervals. Maybe it's a monthly periodical. You'll often see this word if you go into a library, and the library is in English. So if you see periodicals, you'll know that that's where the magazines are being kept. And usually they're papers that researchers have worked long and hard on and have published. So periodicals. So they're periodic. They don't happen every day. Sometimes you have to have some good luck to see some good meteor showers. They occur around the same dates each year and are certainly the best times to catch sight of shooting stars. So, yeah, figure out when the best time for Taiwan is. To catch sight of something means you get a quick glimpse, but it's not like something you can stare at for a long time. They come very quickly and they're over even faster. So these showers can actually be predicted with great accuracy since astronomers can track the paths of comets, which shed debris each time they pass close to the sun. That's how it works. I was thinking about comets when we started today. Those are really cool, and they're long enough that you can actually see them for a while. So meteor showers are kind of a baby version of a comet, you could say.
Yep, a comet, of course. A Halley's Comet is the most famous one. A lot of people call it Halley's Comet.
I say Halley's,
yeah. It's supposed to be Halley, though. The guy's name was Halley, Halley's Comet. But people say Halley's.
Yeah.
If you say Halley's, they're not going to know what you're talking about.
I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah, but in any case here, comets, of course, are different from meteors. Comets have the long tail, as you said, and they cross the orbital path of the Earth.
Yeah.
And so when the Earth passes through where the comet was, there's still some debris left over, so those comets will shed that debris, and then the Earth will pass through where the comet was, and that's what causes the meteor shower. So here we've got the word shed, which means to give something off in small quantities. The most common usage of this would be for animals.
Snakes.
Snakes shed their skin, or dogs shed fur.
You
got to watch out for that. Cats do that, too.
So totally.
If you have pets, you're going to have them shedding their fur all the time. You've always got to clean it up. And debris, of course, is like stuff that's left over from something. It could be stuff that's left over from a tornado. There's all sorts of debris on the ground after the storm passed through. And, of course, astronomers can predict the paths of those comets with great accuracy. They know exactly when and where they're going to be.
Yeah, I was thinking of parades. Sometimes when there's a parade in town, after the parade is over, there's a lot of trash and garbage around. That would be debris. Notice it's kind of a weird pronunciation because it's French. And they just sometimes don't like to say that final S. So that's why we're saying debris. Please do not say debris. No. Yeah. And it's non-count.
Both plural and singular, too, yeah. Debris. Although I think it's a non-count, so it wouldn't be singular or plural. Anyway,
keep it non-count.
That's a moot point. But in any case, indeed, yes, they shed debris when they pass close to the sun or when they cross the path of the earth. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't run into the earth, though. That would be very rare. Now, here in the next paragraph, we're going to say, by now you might be asking, when, where, and how can I see one of these stunning events? Mm-hmm. Yes, you have whetted my appetite. I really want to check this out. I'd really like to see a meteor shower. I would like to tell my friends that I saw one, and I want to make my life more exciting. So yes, I'd like to see one. Where can I go, and when can I see it?
Tom used a great word to whet someone's appetite. Whet is actually spelled W-H-E-T. It just means you get somebody curious about something. They want to learn more, find out more. And I was actually thinking that myself. I thought it was just, you know, good luck, bad luck if you got to see these. But they can actually predict them. We said these astronomers, people who actually are scientists, who study space and outer space, they can actually kind of give you an idea of when you might see some. So there are two that are coming up this year.
Right, so the best two ones, or the two best ones to catch this year, will be the Perseids and the Geminids, okay? Perseids, of course, is the constellation in the sky where they appear to be coming from. That's why they're called that.
Cool.
And the Geminids are coming from Gemini, which is a constellation in the sky. It's also a zodiacal sign. You might be a Gemini if you were born in that part of the year. So, yes, indeed, the Perseids will peak around August 12th to 13th, which is coming up in a couple of months here. And then we've got the word peak here as a verb. That just means it reaches its intensity. That's when you'll see the most meteors between August 12th and 13th. You'll probably see some a little bit before that, a little bit after, but they will peak. They will be at their highest intensity during the days of August 12th and 13th.
We also use peak here. This is a verb, but we often use it as a noun to talk about the pointed top of a mountain, the mountain peak. Oh, we hiked all the way to the mountain peak or to the peak of the mountain. Yeah. And we also use peak to talk about when something's at its highest intensity, as Tom said. For example, peak season, peak tourist season. It depends on where you're going. If you're in a hot country, I can tell you peak season is not in the summer because people like to be more comfortable. Peak season in the state I grew up in would be, I would say, November to March, kind of like Taiwan. When it gets hot here, it's hot in my hometown, Arizona. Well, the Perseids will peak around August 12th to 13th. I would recommend that if someone wanted to see these meteor showers, that they get out there to the countryside during this period of time.
Yes, and they're visible in the northeast, so look into the northeast sky there.
Cool.
After 10 p.m., that's from your local time, no matter where you are in the world, it doesn't matter. Just after 10 p.m., just look to the northeast, and you should see some meteors there. Onward means from 10 p.m. continuing. Of course, you won't be able to see them at dawn. But, you know, during the night there, 10 p.m. to midnight to 2 a.m., maybe to 3, 4 a.m. or something, you should be able to see some meteors there. And the Geminids will light up the sky on December 14th and 15th, so that's later in the year. And they are at their best around 2 a.m. So that's the best time to look for them at 2 a.m. If you're a night owl, yes, indeed, stay up that late at night so that you can see them if you're interested in that sort of thing. But again, you've got to get to a place without a lot of light pollution, which means maybe going down to Kendeng or something, or maybe to Nanto, or maybe out to, you know, Penghu or something like that.
Well, this first one, the Perseids, is northeast.
Yeah, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't really matter where you are in the world. Mm-hmm. You just got to be in a dark place and then look toward the northeast. I assume that's the same if you're looking for the Geminids in December as well.
Kind of cool. I had no idea that they could predict it that carefully. It's a pretty small window of time, so if you really want to see it, I think you could if you planned your schedule right. To get the best view, of course, you want to find a dark place away from city lights. And you want to get on your back. You actually have a better chance of seeing some of these meteor showers, shooting stars, comets, if you're actually on your back, so you want to lie down. And from there, you can take in the sky with your naked eye. To take something in means to see it, to enjoy it. We'll often use this verb phrase to talk about taking in a movie. Hey, you want to take in a movie with me this weekend? You know, instead of saying, do you want to go see a movie with me? You could use that phrase to take in something, to enjoy it. You can also use take in just to talk about understanding something. Ooh, I didn't really take in what the professor was talking to us about today. Did you understand that? Yeah, I didn't really take it in. But we use it in lots of different ways. Here we're just saying to enjoy that particular thing, to see it. I'll typically use it to talk about visiting a place or attending something, to take in a show, you know. So yeah, if you're talking about going, though, you won't need to have a big what do you call those telescopes, you know?
Where
people look up into the sky. I had one as a kid, and I love that. But here it's going to be so easy to see. You can just use it with your own eyes. You don't have to take any sort of equipment with you.
Yes, there are, of course, lots of stars and galaxies that can be seen with the naked eye, whereas other objects will require a telescope, as you said. Like I think all the red dwarf stars out there cannot be seen with the naked eye.
Too far away.
Yeah, you're going to need a telescope for those. I think you can see the Andromeda Galaxy with the naked eye, although you can, of course, get a better view if you have some binoculars or a telescope. So indeed, take in the sky with your naked eye to see this meteor shower. And this stellar show will not disappoint you. So that is one astronomical event that you can see this year. And, of course, lunar eclipses are quite common. You can see those quite frequently here in Taiwan and in other parts of the world. And I think there's going to be a solar eclipse in Taiwan next year as well. So hopefully we'll talk about that when the time comes. But we're talking about the meteor shower today. That certainly is going to be quite spectacular. Again, there's one in August, and then there's another one in December. So, yeah, plan your trip, you know, plan where to go.
Where you're going to be.
Someplace where there's not a lot of light pollution, and you should have the time of your life. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. And that's the end of our explanation totally. So we're just going to say goodbye now without hearing from our Chinese teacher, because Chinese is forbidden today. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.